Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast, hosted by Jonathan Moody and Donnie Sturgis.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Hollywood Boulevard podcast with Jonathan Moody, your host for today. But my co-host, we got to get that changed so that it also says Alfred Crane in the show, because you kind of took over, you know, as a co-host, Alfred, not just a producer on here. So, you know, like we really, you know, we need to get that changed at some point for the, you know, for everything. But anyway, so as I said, Donnie Sturgis is joining me. Hello, Donnie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing, bud?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Alfred Crane, how are you doing?
Doing wonderful, thanks. Good to be here tonight.
All right, and we're going to talk about Salsa Shark. We're going to need a bigger boat.
Yes.
We'll talk about that a little later, because that'll be probably part of the pop culture part at the end. But we're going to be talking about Jaws, which was like a 1975, and excuse the pun, splash hit. Kind of shocked the world into not understanding, like it became the first official blockbuster. Now, I mean, I'm sure there were other movies that did very well, but like that was the official blockbuster film, you know, of the summer.
Yep.
So that started it all. After that, things got changed, I guess, in Hollywood. And it's so funny considering, and I want to get into this a little bit, into the actual movie of Jaws. The first one, we'll talk about that for a few minutes, because we got to kind of keep it going with each one. There's four Jaws movies. There should have been more, but they stopped at the worst one. you know, we'll talk about that because, I mean, I guarantee you we'll have some fun discussion on that one. But the first one was, you know, kind of a really good movie. It was a great movie. It mm-hmm. is not a horror film, even though it's always in my horror section. I guess because the other three were in it, and the other three are basically horror films. This is a more of a thriller. It was up for Academy Award nominations, which I guess it can't be a horror film if it's up for Academy Award nominations, technically these days, or at least back then, you know, they're very particular, you know, about that.
Right.
So let's talk first of all. When was the first time you saw Jaws? And I remember specifically, like I remember the day I watched it. It was on TV, and I thought my dad would not let me watch it. I believe I was like 7 years old, and I did not think my dad would let me watch it. But I guess because it was A, made for TV, and B, it's a PG movie. It's PG. Like, there's way more. It should have been PG-13. They didn't have that, I think, back in 1975. But it's like labeled as a PG movie, and it is, you know, it's pretty bloody. Except for a smile, you son of a bitch, there's not really much cursing in the movie.
Right.
You know, there's no sexual content. It is pretty much a movie that a child can watch, you know, but it still scares the crap out of children. So what about you, Donnie? Donnie, first time that you ever saw Jaws? Do you remember?
Yeah, actually I do. And this is another one of those cases where I saw the movies backwards. Same thing happened with Rocky. Same thing happened with Star Trek back in the 80s. You know, living in a trailer park and not being able to go out to a theater very often, all of my movie watching was done on cable, like HBO, Cinemax, or whatever. So I saw Jaws 4 first, probably when I was around – like 10, 12, somewhere in there. So, and that was the one that always got played all the time on cable, was Jaws 4. So I saw the hell out of that one like a million times. So I didn't see the first Jaws probably until I was in my late teens. Maybe I think it was just because at the time I never really got around to it. And I think it was really kind of wasn't all that easy to find, or I just wasn't really seeking it out or anything. But I finally got to see it like probably in my late teens, maybe early 20s. It's a classic, like an instant classic. I remember seeing mm-hmm. bits and pieces of it when I was a young kid, like when I was like 6 years, like maybe 5 or 6. I remember seeing like bits and pieces of it, but I always got it confused because there'd be other movies similar, like Orca, and like other movies that are very similar to it. So I always got it confused with other movies that are of a similar vein. But I never got to see the full movie until I was much, much older. But I've been a fan ever since. So, and you know, I have a special love for Jaws 4 as well, but I'll get into that when we get to that movie.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. Like, I think everybody generally has an actual either love or hate of that movie. There's nobody that's like, yeah, that movie is okay. You know, it's either
right.
they love it or they hate it. And so we'll talk about that. Alfred, what about you? What was and do you remember the first time you ever saw the original Jaws? Did you see it in theater at all?
I did not. It's a funny story because we were living in Germany. My dad was stationed over there. We just moved over there. It was like 1976. And when it was released over there, I don't know how we got on the subject, but I was asking if we were going to go see it. And my dad said, well, your friend blew his lunch in the theater, so we're not going to go see it. So you got
wow.
sick of the movie and threw up. So I guess that kind of left a mark on me. So actually, I did not see Jaws until 1996 on a VHS tape when I was in graduate school.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I was familiar with it, but I had gotten it. One of my friends, Jason, he's one of my best friends from high school. That's one of his all-time favorite movies. And we were talking one night. And I said, yeah, I picked it up. Maybe I'll watch it. He said, watch it. And then so I watched it, and I was impressed. I was like, I remember calling him after. He goes, why did I wait so long to watch this? It was so good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you guys say that. Go ahead.
The first time I knew more about when we may talk about this later, but in the movie 1941 that Steven Spielberg also directed, he reenacted the same scene except it had the Japanese-German submarine mm-hmm. surfacing. So I thought that was pretty wild how he like did that and the same music and everything. But yeah, it was. I remember seeing it going, wow, that was an excellent movie.
Oh, definitely. Like I was going to say, that I think, you know, it's really funny that you guys pretty much saw it like later in life compared to me, who I mean, I like Jaws. Like, I think Jaws is a great movie, you know, but when I was a kid, I didn't realize how like cinematic and wonderful and beautifully filmed and all that stuff that it actually was, you know what I mean? Like, I thought it was just a fun little movie with a shark going around killing everybody, you know, like and I probably like, cause I used to own it on like Betamax. And so I probably like fast forwarded. Yeah. I used to fast forward all like the boring parts, you know, which today I love, you know, but like, you know, when they're talking about like, when it's not anything but like the killing and stuff, when it's like them talking or something, I want to bring this up. Okay. God, man. So I had it all planned out. Like, we're going to talk about 7 minutes or whatever each, and that's just not going to happen.
No.
Like, we just can't.
It was a nice try.
I tried.
A for effort.
Like, yeah. So I know already we're at 9 minutes, and so that's just not going to happen. But, you know, we'll try to kind of skip through. But I mean, because the first Jaws is wonderful. Like, it is the best Jaws. The other ones are either okay or, you know, like, they're better than a lot of other movies, sequels, you know. But they're not,
right.
They don't have that same, even the second one. So we'll go right into the second one, which was not Steven Spielberg, did not come and direct it. And apparently I've heard rumors that the director and Roy Scheider, the new director of it, and Roy Scheider did not get along very well. And so they had little issues with it. There was a lot of really bad character. Okay.
If I remember correctly, Roy Scheider didn't even want to be in it. I think, but there was like a clause in his contract or something that basically was like, "Well, you have to be in this film," and so he did it just because he had to fulfill his contract. So there was already some bad blood going into the movie to begin with.
You can kind of see that in the in Roy Scheider's performance that he it felt like watching it that he was just like going through the motions of, okay,
sure,
I'm back to this. This is what's going on. And again, they try to amp up the whole idea of the town being, you know, harassed by this. They like try to basically do Jaws the remake instead of, this time, however, oh no, Chief Brody is the bad guy, you know, in this one now, because he's trying to close the beaches again. I mean, like, I don't know. If it were today's day, like if this were a movie that were made in today, the thing I would have done in a sequel is I would have had Chief Brody show a video that's on YouTube of him getting slapped by that woman.
Right.
And saying, "Hey, look, like this is why, you know, this is what happens when you don't listen to me. People die, you know." But of course,
Of particular note, the one thing about Jaws 2 that sets it apart from the first movie is that, you know, the first Jaws was kind of more, it was kind of like a sea adventure, you know, going after the white whale, so to speak. Jaws 2 was meant to be a straight up slasher flick, which at the time they were trying to go with the sensibilities, because at that time slashers were like huge, Friday the 13th, you know, all that stuff, Halloween. So if you watch Jaws 2, it's a straight up slasher flick at this point, because at that point, they wanted to amp up the number of killings, the number of bodies, the number of attacks that Jaws or that the shark had done, as opposed to the first one. And it's a straight up slasher. Like, it's a slasher with a shark. That's pretty much what Jaws 2 is. And for that reason, I think it has its own charms. I think it's a little bit more bloated. I think it tends to drag in a few spots here and there. But for the most part, if you're looking for a straight up, if you want your slasher or your Jaws movie to be a slasher flick, that's the one to go with. And it has its charms. There's some things to like about it.
What are your thoughts on it, Alfred?
I don't really remember it. I may have seen it like once, but I wasn't a huge fan. So I remember seeing bits and pieces of it, but I don't really remember enough to comment on it.
So last year,
it's very repetitive.
Last year they had it at Scares That Care, because Scares That Care is doing like summer themed horror movies or whatever. They had like Piranha 1 year. And they, you know, the original Roger Corman Piranha, and then they had, you know, Jaws 2 last year. And I remember rewatching it going, this is kind of boring. Like, it's not, to me, it just didn't, I don't know, like, what it lacked, what the other one kind of had, this kind of lacked. And maybe it was the slasher vibe or whatever. And maybe that's why I don't know if I wanted it to be exactly like a sea adventure, you know, high sea adventure, but I don't know. Like, I think I have more fun watching 3 and 4 than I've ever had watching 2.
Well, I think there's two problems with the second movie. Aside from the injecting, you know, the slasher aspect to it, one, you have lost a lot of your good performances. One of the things that makes Jaws 1 so good is Quint and Hooper. Don't get me wrong, Roy Scheider's good, but he's playing against these two guys that are fucking like knocking it out of the park left and right. The scene where they're in the boat and they're comparing scars, all Scheider's doing is reacting to what the other two guys are doing. Those guys are fucking nailing it. And so you've lost both those performances in Jaws 2. So you've lost a lot of what made the first film so good as far as performances go. Second of all, as far as like the narrative, the storyline of the second film, it's pretty much a carbon copy of the first one. It's basically like, "Oh, Brody, you said there's another shark? Well, even though you proved that there was a shark the first time, we're not going to believe you again, and this time we're going to try to prove that you're crazy and that you're seeing things. And, oh, shit, no, the shark is there. Oh, no, wash, rinse, repeat. We just did the same thing over again, only, like I said, this time the shark has a bigger body count." And like I said, the dramatic material in between, like you said, it gets boring, it drags, it doesn't pop because you don't have those performances in place. And I think that's why, I think there's a lot to like about Jaws, but it's still very much a lackluster film when compared to the first one.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's go right into Jaws 3, because we're, like, you know, just kind of keep it going as far as time goes and everything. And then if we want to come back to some certain things on 1 and 2, we can come back to it. Ooh. Afterwards, if we, especially if we have time. But 3, man, freaking, who came up with this idea of, like, let's, you know, like, it might have been the writer or whatever, but, like, somebody had to have thought, you know what, we need Jaws to attack SeaWorld. I mean, that is one of the most amazing ideas. Have you guys been to SeaWorld at all, like, after watching
Once
this
a long,
movie,
long
have you guys
time
been
ago.
There?
I have not.
I went to SeaWorld, okay, like, once when I was a kid.
You're right.
I may have gone to the one in California, but I don't remember going to one in Florida.
I went to the one in Florida, and all right. So let's discuss this, because this is the one thing that's always annoyed me. And I don't know if there's, like, any real thing. So in the first one, there's a shark. He explodes at the end. You know, smiley son of a bitch, he's dead. Second one, is
right.
It just a new shark that's attacking, new great white shark? Is that...
Yes.
Kind of what the
yeah
the
they established that in the second movie that it's just another great white that's moved into the area.
Okay, so but then it dies, or so it gets electrocuted, right?
Right.
Or whatever, I think, and then it comes back, like it's like, oh, I'm not done yet, you know, I'm still gonna, because you see it's all like Burton junk, you know, attacking.
Right.
If I'm correct. And so it's really funny. And so that one explodes too, right? So then
right.
Number 3 comes, and it's like, okay, these two Brody brothers, you know, can't escape great white sharks, you know, like
right.
They just like another great white shark comes into SeaWorld. They're like,
right.
I mean, after a while you would just think these kids are freaking cursed, you know, like it's not the mom who's cursed, it's like the freaking two kids, you know, who are possibly cursed with this damn, you know, and we'll talk about that because that goes into the revenge thing.
Yep.
In part 4.
Yeah, it's funny to say that because I have some interesting info for part 4.
Oh, okay, cool. We'll definitely get into that when we do that. But so the fact that it was in 3D was one of the coolest things. I remember like Friday the 13th part 3. Did 3D,
yep.
And it was, you know, okay. Like, I mean, I don't know. I never saw it in the theater, so I can't say how awesome it would have been in the theater. But the ones that they have on DVD, just, it didn't, like, blow me away, the you know what I mean, the 3D effect.
Well, that's the 3D
stuff
that cheap psychics.
What was
that
over
3D? Had cheap sight gags, like you had the spear coming
yeah.
at you, and... It was
yeah.
a, whoa. But that was the one with Lou Gossett Jr., right?
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Dennis Quaid, Louis Gossett Jr.
Yep.
Dennis Quaid, too. And they were, like, trying to rescue people in the glass tubes.
Yep. And a cameo appearance by Leah Thompson, if I remember correctly.
Oh, wow. I guess she was fulfilling her contract with Universal with the Back to the Future or something.
Yeah.
Around that time.
Probably.
But that's great. That's really cool. So, you know, do you guys remember, like, the shark coming toward the, you know, the glass, you know, and breaking.
Oh, yeah, the atrium glass or whatever. That was a horrible effect. It was so bad. It's so bad. It doesn't matter if it's in 3D or in 2D. That it's the green screen or whatever they used to put him there is so awful. It's a nice attempt, but my God, the execution is just horrible. It looks awful.
That was awful, yeah. And the fact that they did it in slow motion made it even worse,
yeah.
I think. Like, I feel like if they had done it fast, it might have actually, you know, been some sort of cool effect or whatever. But they, like, made
right,
it
right.
so slow that everybody, it was just like, all right, let's get to the part. And then it gets to it, and I didn't see it from 3D, so I have no idea how cool that would have been in 3D. I wonder if it would have been a lot better or not. Did you guys ever see it in 3D?
I have. I've seen it in 3D. I think it was like a bootleg copy or something, or it was on Laserdisc or something, and it you know, it doesn't hold up in 3D either. It's bad.
Okay. That's good to know. So 3D Jaws was not, it's a gimmick, right? It's a cool
right.
gimmick. They do it a lot more nowadays because they can actually make 3D really work really well.
Right.
Except when the glasses don't work for some reason or whatever, the thing doesn't work.
Sure.
I used to work at Movie Tavern, and I remember one day people were complaining that, like, 4D wasn't working. And I'm like, I mean, I understand you're paying, like, you know, $15 compared to, like, the 11. You know what I mean? You're paying more.
Right.
For it better freaking work, because, you know, like that sucks. But, you know, I'm just wondering if they'll ever do that again, if they'll ever put Jaws 3D out in the theaters, you know, just like they used to. They should do that, like at a Regal or something for like the summer, you know.
Or like
that
the
would
Narrow
probably
or something.
Be a big hit. Or the Narrow or the Norva or any of those places. Not Norva, I know. Well, Bird, the Bird Theater in Richmond would be a good place too. So,
right.
So those are awesome. And so let's now go on to probably everybody's second favorite Jaws I mean, at least it's my second favorite Jaws because it was probably, other than the first one, it was the second one I saw, you know, I guess after I saw the first one. In 1989 or so, I had to watch
right.
the next one. And it was actually the video game, which we'll get to later, was sort of based on this one, on this movie.
Right.
So let's talk about Jaws the Revenge, where the first scene in the movie, they're like, screw both those brothers. You're only going to get one in this movie.
Right.
And he's the first one's going to be eaten. Like in the first 10 minutes of the movie. And it's like, just
right.
like a slasher, just like you said, it's like a slasher.
Yeah.
10 minutes of the movie, he's dead. And then what's her name? Ellen Brody is just like, you know, let's go see my son down there in the Bahamas, you know, where he's
right.
like, you know, everything like seems like there would be no reason that a shark would be attacking. All right, so you said, Donnie, you had some trivia that you wanted to point out about the revenge aspect.
Yes. So and one of your bullet points is, was it really revenge? And
mm-hmm.
the movie doesn't really come right out and say it, but it almost tries to imply that maybe this is the ghost of the original shark that Brody killed in the first movie. It's never really established one way or the other. It does seem like the shark has a vendetta, but we never really know for certain. But
right.
when I was in seventh grade, this would be 1987, right around the time that the movie came out. Somebody in my class, we were doing oral book reports in front of class. One of the kids in my class read Jaws 4: The Revenge, the novelization. And the novelization, of course, especially during that time, novelizations were usually based off the original shooting script, not what eventually ends up on the screen, which is why usually novelizations will have extra scenes, you know, stuff that you never see, like the novelization for like Empire, Star Wars, you know, all those usually would have more stuff than what you'd see on the screen, because it was based on your usual shooting scripts before they would go into production. This is the same situation. In the book, the novelization for Jaws 4, which is based on the original script, it was supposed to be a revenge, because basically what happened is the son, the Brody son that survives in the Bahamas, apparently I forget what the details are, but they end up angering a voodoo priestess who lives in the islands, and the voodoo priestess actually uses a voodoo curse to control a shark. I'm not even joking. She uses voodoo to basically control a great white shark and send it to the Bahamas to kill all the Brodies because of some. I think they took her land for oceanographic studies or something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But they basically pissed this woman off. She was a voodoo priestess. She basically used her voodoo to control a shark, sent the shark to the Bahamas to kill all the Brodies, and of course failed. And to be fair, there's a part of me that really wishes that had been left in the film, because that would have been fucking hilarious. I would have loved the shit out of
that. That
would have
been more fun than the actual movie, you know?
Sure. And the title would have made sense, because the title doesn't really make sense otherwise. I take it back. It kind of does, because now it looks like the revenge is basically the Brodies against the shark. You know, because they're just like, look, we've been attacked by sharks pretty much all our lives, but we're not taking it anymore. And they're like, fuck you all.
I thought it was funny when it came out. I thought it was funny when it came out. I remember that when the trailer was released, I was in the theater watching something else, and then it goes, Jaws 4, The Revenge. This time it's personal. And I remember the whole theater started laughing.
Yeah, because it makes no damn sense.
And why is it personal? Because I can understand if it were the ghost of the shark, the original shark, or that
right.
it was like a family member of the shark, you know? But like that
right.
is so hard, like to show in a movie, right? Like you would have to somehow have like flashbacks of the original shark and maybe a little baby shark, like seeing the
right.
original shark explode and then. You know, and then it just looks mad. And then it's just like, you know, because if you're going to go with the revenge plot, fucking go Asylum on it. You got to go.
Right.
Like, you got to go and make it so ridiculous and so over the top. Because, like, that's the only way to do it. But if you're just going to do Jaws 4 and it's just, you know, the fact that this family just can't escape fucking sharks. Like, no matter where it goes, a great white is always going to be there. And there is a line in Jaws the Revenge where it said that Roy Scheider's character, Chief Brody, died from the fear of the shark. And I remember
right.
hearing people talk about how ridiculous that is, because
right.
how can he, like, he's killed two of these things, man. Now you're just making him
Yeah,
into,
you
would like,
think
he'd
pussy. Be empowered at that point.
Right? Like, he's now this, like, you know, yeah, he's just not even able to handle, like, the fear of the shark's going to get him. I'm like, he just fucking kicked two sharks' ass. Like, I mean, and
right.
his sons are doing pretty well at it, too, you know, with the
right.
last one. I don't know if they don't know if they killed it or not necessarily. Did they make it the first in Jaws 3? Did they make him explode like the other shark?
I don't remember. I honestly don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen it.
I bought them and then I didn't watch them and I feel bad. But, you know, like I bought them from Walmart. Like I was looking for
right.
them and I was like, oh man, I can't find them. And just as I was about to leave, I looked down and like there was Jaws, right? And then under it was Jaws 2, 3, and 4 on a DVD.
Nice.
And whatever it is, you know, it's all three of them. I kind of want them on, Blu-ray at some point, have all of them, just because I love those movies, even
right.
if they're, you know, ridiculous and stupid and stuff. Now, I have a question for you guys. All right, so now,
yeah.
if they were to do, let's have a fun, like, little second. If they were to do a remake, not a remake, like a fifth one. like say it was Jaws The Return or something, what would you guys like pitch? Like what? Yeah, starting with you, Donnie, and then you, Alfred, and then I'll go on our own little like couple, you know, some pitches on what you think a part, you know, a part five would be.
Honestly, I think the Brodies have been done to death, so I think we need to just get away from the Brodies forever. If you had to feature a Brody, yeah, I think so, or you know, just either a whole new family or a whole new. I mean, actually, here's a great idea. If you want to do a new Jaws film, look at the news right now. You know, there's a lot of great, like, especially like this summer, there have been reports about really heavy, like great white and shark infestations and at a lot of the major beaches along the East Coast. If you want to do a new Jaws movie, you know, ground it in realism, ground it in what's going on right now. Make it about, you know, like what's going on in the news. Don't do the Brodies. The Brodies are done. They're over and done. If you have to have a Brody, maybe have a Brody show up briefly. Actually, no,
well,
don't
Michael's
even do that.
Left. You could kill Michael off and then just be like done with the Brodies. But don't even do that.
Don't even do it to kill him off. But I take that back. Don't bring on any of the Brodies. Bring back Hooper. Even though he supposedly died in the remake of Piranha. They brought in Richard Dreyfuss for the beginning of the Piranha reboot, and he's clearly playing Hooper in that scene, even though they never really mentioned who he is. But you don't have to acknowledge that. But you want to bring back somebody. Bring back Hooper. Bring back, because Richard Dreyfuss will do anything for a paycheck anymore. Bring back Hooper and with his expertise. You know, have him come back and do another stint. But basically make ground it in current events, ground it in what's going on in the news right now. And make it more, you know, make it visceral, make it, you know, bring back the horror, bring back the terror element, make people afraid to go back in the water again as your marketing device. Don't make it a joke. That's how I would pitch a new Jaws film. Doesn't have to be a reboot, doesn't have to be a remake. It doesn't even have to acknowledge the other Jaws movies, but you can watch it and go, well, this could be set in the same universe as either Jaws, or it could be a new thing. Leave it ambiguous and that would be my pitch.
All right. What do you say, Alfred? Would you come up with something that
I have a pitch
for another one?
I have three ideas.
Okay.
It's going to kind of go in branches. So one, you could tell Quinn's story from the Indianapolis.
Oh, man, yeah.
Ooh, like a prequel. That's cool.
And then tell Quinn's story. Second, I would do a found footage one because I don't think I've done a shark movie with found footage, like a people who are like with steady cams or GoPros and then they get attacked by a shark. I think that might be pretty cool because that would tie in with what Donnie's talking about. You have some college kids go, I'm going to investigate this shark shit. And then it's like slowly they start falling apart. And the last one would be a tongue-in-cheek, like Jaws versus Aquaman.
Jaws versus Aquaman. I'd watch that for sure. I kind of like Donnie's pitch about just not, you know, kind of starting fresh, but kind of setting it sort of in the Amity universe, you know, and everything with the new great white shark, I guess, terrorizing you. Either Hooper or the whatever. But I mean, I do want to, like, I feel like the way that Hollywood is these days and the way that it would get pitched and sold is like, okay. So basically what I would say, I'm trying to think of a good way to say this, you know, but the way that Hollywood does, like you see the Ghostbusters, the new Ghostbusters movie, you know,
right.
And it's, you know, basically taking like the characters and actually just giving them a send off, you know, and bringing in new people. And I like that idea. Like I like the idea of killing off, the Brody family one last time. So killing off Michael, because he's like, he'd be the last remaining one except for the mom, right?
Right.
You know, so that's what I think. Like, I think you should kill off him and then start a whole brand new. Maybe it could be Hooper's son, you know, and his story, you know, or whatever. And
right.
then, so you can have Hooper in there for one last little thing. But that's what I would do, because I would want to give the Brody a family a send-off. They've been in four freaking movies. To just not acknowledge them would be, like, I think, a travesty to the series, you know, in a way. Because I feel like even though they've been done to death, it's like their story, you know? Like, Jaws is the Brody family. So, I mean, that's my opinion. Go ahead.
I was gonna say what I'm disappointed in is, I know there was back before Jaws 3 had even been made, there was a pitch that was going out. The idea was to get Steven Spielberg to come back to do the third Jaws film, but they wanted to kind of make it almost like a comedy horror, and they wanted to call it Jaws 3 People Zero.
Yeah, I remember that.
And so, and of course, you know, basically making it sound like it's the score. You're like, Jaws 3, People Zero. Like, it's the thing was is you know, I think it would have been a good idea, but Spielberg wasn't interested in going back to that well in any way, shape, or form. And of course, you know, at that point, it just, the whole idea, the whole pitch catch kind of fell apart, and then we ended up getting the version of Jaws that we got. So, but still, that's the original idea behind Jaws 3, People Zero, I think would have been, and that's the other thing too. I think part of another reason why is at that time, like, it was, for some reason, it was really hard to do a horror comedy, even though they'd been done before and they've been done well. But for some reason, the idea of a horror comedy, like, people just had a hard time trying to figure out how to make it work or how to do it at that point. Which is unfortunate, because I do think that concept would have been great. You know, but it's just, you know, it remains in the what could have been pile.
Speaking of
definitely
shark comedy, it wasn't really a shark, but in the movie Better Off Dead, they had the foaming rabid dolphin. They were filming that in the New England town where John Cusack and Demi Moore and One Crazy Summer, that's right.
And in what is it? There's been a few in pop culture stuff. I think it was one of the airplanes. I'm not sure if it was the first one or the second one that had and it's like the tail.
Yep.
But it's like the tail of
the tail
plane
in the clouds.
And
Yeah.
So that was funny. Salsa Shark, which we mentioned earlier with Jaw.
Right.
And Kevin Smith has been known to, like, throw in a bunch of Jaws references and everything.
Oh, yeah,
he does, especially
he's a huge
stuff.
Fan. Yeah, he's a huge fan of Jaws. The Scar scene in Chasing Amy is a huge tribute to the Scar scene in Jaws.
And all the characters in Mallrats and Chasing Amy are like Brody is Chief Brody, and then there was gonna be originally in a cut scene was gonna be in Mallrats. They were going to have that that Scar scene, and they were going to talk about their sexual scars, and it was going to be a bunch of guys talking about it was going to be Hooper, Brody, and Quint, because there was T.S. Quint, so all talking about their scars, and then he chose to take that and put that into Chasing Amy because it worked better in that.
Right.
So, I mean, he's a huge fan of Jaws, and so. You know, uses a lot of pop culture references. I mean, it's parodied all over the place. Even Spielberg himself parodied the opening scene with the same woman and everything in, was it 1941, right?
1941, yeah.
If I'm correct.
Yep.
Yeah, so there you go. So this has been one of those movies that's iconic. People, the first one especially, people just know, and it was one of those things where, like you were saying earlier, Donnie, people wanted, you know, told people to stay. It basically got people to not want to go in the water And I know
right.
I mentioned this in the bullet point before, but I know I didn't ever, like, it actually kind of terrified me, because I would go down to Orlando, or no, Daytona, in beach, and with my family every year. And after a while, I was afraid to go in the water, you know, because, you know, all. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the funny thing about that is that having not even seen the movie Jaws until I was, you know, basically in my late teenage years, even as a young kid, the hype, the advertising for it was still just as effective. Like, you know, seeing the book covers in the bookstores, you know, that tagline, you know, being afraid to go back, you know, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water or whatever, that, even if you hadn't seen the movie, that was everywhere. So, I mean, even as a young kid, it scared me. Just looking at the book cover, looking at the giant shark on the cover and everything. I never seen the movie, but that and the tagline just scared me in general, because it was like, oh my God, I don't want to go in the ocean now because there's big sharks. So, I mean, it's a testament to just how big of an impact this movie had, because even, you know, even the marketing for it itself was huge.
Exactly. We are about 5 minutes till the end, and I really like, I love it when we talk, but sometimes we talk over and then we're like trying to scramble at the end to say
sure,
everything.
Sure.
So real quick though, tell everybody kind of, Donnie, I know you've been up to a lot of stuff with John Johnson and company and everything. What have you been up to lately?
We've been filming Dr. Elemental, the horror show host series starring Mariah Johnson, which is going up on Amazon. Not Amazon Prime. You actually have to rent it, but it's like, it's real cheap. It's like 99 cents or $1.99 or something. It's really cheap to rent episodes. I'm in the third episode, which hasn't dropped yet, but it should be up there soon. But I've been working on it. I've been doing episodes of this other podcast called Scary Stories to Pod in the Dark with my friends at Dark
Nice.
Hills Gaming. Basically what we do is we read, because we're gearing up for the new movie that's coming out. But what we do is we read three stories from the book, and then we talk about each of them, talk about the history behind them, you know, the folklore, the original stories and everything that, you know, that made them what they are. That usually comes out every Wednesday, my friend Joey, who runs that podcast, has been sick, and so we're kind of behind a couple episodes on that. But normally they go up every Wednesday. And then this weekend, we are shooting a brand new movie with Darkstone that I'm executive producer of and starring in, called The Frights. And we're going to be shooting that starting this weekend, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And that's pretty much everything for me at the moment.
All right. And by the way, I just rewatched our Croatoan Origins on Amazon. So,
nice.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it in forever, but I love that short. Alfred, what have you been up to lately?
I've been pretty active at Push Comedy Theater in Norfolk. I'm a co-captain of an improv short form team called Every Rose Has Its Thorns. And we performed the last Friday of the month, and we have one more show at the end of August. We'll be at the 10 o'clock slot the last Friday for a short-form show. It's called Improv Riot. It'll be after dark. There's three teams, and
okay.
I've been busy with that. And this weekend I'll be working with Team Kamikaze. They're a sketch group that does a lot of shows at the theater, and we'll be helping them out with the 48-hour film festival.
Awesome sauce.
Awesome. Yeah, sounds like everybody's busy. That's great. I am right now trying to get a job so I can save up and go to California so we can do a Hollywood Boulevard podcast where I'm in Hollywood. So that's the plan in January. So, but aside from that, thank you guys so much for today. This is awesome. I love this show. I love Jaws. If you've not seen Jaws or any of the Jaws sequels, go see them. They are a lot of fun, and you're going to enjoy them. And join us next week. I forgot what episode we're going to do, like what movie or series.
Not next week, next month. Last Monday of the month of August, we're going to be doing the Planet of the Apes series.
Nice.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So there we go. All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and have a great
day. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Meet the movies. Bye.
Okay.